Coming to you from North Central Ohio, we share with you the Voice of the Nazarene, a week-by-week venture into the Word of God sponsored by the Bucyrus, Ohio Church of the Nazarene. We join our pastor, Reverend Ray LaSalle, and the Voice of the Nazarene.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and it was written to the church at Ephesus. They were Christians, just like you are. They were not a bunch of Greek pagans, but they were church folk. And he's writing, "Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is." Tell you, a lot of us have made some unwise decisions through the years that have had to live with them. Before you make a decision, be sure you understand what the will of God is. And then he said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. And he says this to Christian people. Now, when I get Jesus, I get the Holy Spirit. But when Jesus really gets me, I get filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, he wants all of us. He wants us to be totally committed to him. And I'll probably close out our series about the Holy Spirit this morning. I had planned to speak on it last week and got a text from Bev reminding me that Sunshine was putting on a program last week, and I thought speaking about the Holy Spirit and marriage might not be the theme that I need on this type of a gathering with so many outsiders coming. And I know it's Thanksgiving, and I'll move along that little line for a moment. I want everybody happy. It'll be a miracle, but I'm working on it. And welcome by live stream and by telecast as well this morning. I think many of us, we want the Holy Spirit, but we want him to be a resident and not the president. We kind of want to be in charge, and he's wanting to be in charge, and I make unwise decisions, and then he has to help me out of my mess, and it would just be better if I let him be in total control, totally surrendered to him, and letting him be the president calling the shots. Now, he moves on in verse 19, and he picks it up, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And this is where my brain is, and this is where I'm going to park, and this is what I'm going to talk about, that little phrase right there, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And I'm going to try to collect your thinking and to focus around that little verse for just a few minutes. Then it goes on, wives, submit yourselves unto your own. That word own in the original Greek is special. That special man in your life. Submitting yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. And then that next verse is Ben's favorite verse out of all of the Bible. For the husband is the head of the wife. That just glorifies man. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And so for a few minutes, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and marriage. The Holy Spirit and marriage. And I heard about a couple who had a very successful marriage. I mean, they were a great example to everybody. And another man said to him, "What is the secret that you have for such a happy, successful marriage?" And he said, "Well, my wife and I, we one day a week, we go out to an exotic restaurant, a nice restaurant. And they have delectable desserts and delicious appetizers and background music and all that ambience. And we go for one night a week." And the other guy said, "Man, that's tremendous." He said, "It is." "She goes on Tuesday and I go on Thursdays." Well, during the middle of COVID, I don't know if you know this, but the divorce rate literally blew the roof off the house. The greatest in the last decade here in America. Divorce rate just soared through the sky. Fact of the matter, domestic violence blew the windows out. We'd never had so much as during that COVID time. And I looked at those stats and I thought, Really, in every aspect of our lives, we need the Holy Spirit to survive life. Now, I go back to what I'd said earlier. God is on the throne. Jesus Christ is seated right there at his right hand. And the Holy Spirit is with us. He's here. I mean, God the Father had his day in the Old Testament. It was the dispensation of God the Father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had an audience with him. But you move into the New Testament, Jesus arrived, God in flesh, and it was the dispensation of God the Son. Disciples walked with him and held street meetings with him. But he said, I've got to leave, but I'm going to send you another comforter. And when he has come, he will guide you. And I'm wondering, what in the world is the church thinking? We kind of ignore him. We don't really include him. And he's right here to be our guide. He wants to direct us. And we're not paying any attention to what he has to say. We focus on about everything else in the religious realm. But the Holy Spirit is right here to help you through life in raising that kid of yours, getting along with that spouse that you're living with, and with all of the affairs of life. Now, suddenly God here in this passage is addressing marital issues. And he said to that crowd as he talks about marital issues, he said, you need to be filled with the Spirit. If you're going to make a wise decision, you better be filled with the Spirit. Don't go get drunk, but you need to get filled with the Spirit. And you say, well, what's he talking about? Well, he gives you three indicators. I'm not making all this up. Part of it's true. He gives us three indicators. You say, well, how do I know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? There's three qualities that are mentioned right here in this passage. And everybody that's Spirit-filled will have these three qualities. Mark her down. Oh, boy, preacher, I got them. Good, okay? We'll move along now. What are those three qualities? The first quality is joy. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now listen, people who are always complaining, down in the mouth, always meditating on dark things, always singing the blues, always somebody else done somebody else something wrong, and on we sing all that kind of negativism, I want you to just say to you, probably it's a good indicator you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you got a bucket full of acid and you poke a hole in it, acid's going to run out. And some people, I mean, they got a stinger in them, and you get around them, you try to be nice, try to draw them out, and they'll sting you every time, and you'll go away hurting. You see, if a bucket's full of honey and you poke a hole in it, only honey's going to run out. And people that are full of the Spirit's going to have joy. Just because people go to church doesn't mean they have joy. Some of the most negative people I've ever met has been around the church. Some of the most vicious people I've ever met have been around the church. Now, you don't have to quit gym just because there's a lot of fat folk down there working out at the gym. They need the gym. And you don't need to quit the church because there's some hypocrites in it. They need the church as much as me and you need the church. So keep coming. But I'm simply saying the first indicator of having the Holy Spirit in your life is joy. And then he says the second indicator is we're thankful. This is a good thing to talk about on a day like this, you know, around Thanksgiving time. We're thankful. Giving thanks always for all things. I got on my little phone today. And I sent a message back to my classmates that I'd attended school with. And I told them I was thankful for my classmates that we could meet one more time in life. Can I stand here this morning and look out over this audience and say to you on this Thanksgiving season time, I'm thankful to be your pastor. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for every couple that makes up this ministry, for every single person that make up this ministry. I'm thankful when guests walk through these doors. I hope that God would count us worthy enough to even allow somebody to even step foot inside. I hope our music is good enough. I hope the preaching is good enough. I'm just thankful for anybody showing up and being a part of what God is doing here at BNC. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for turkey. I may not get any, but I'm thankful for turkey. And I could go on and on. I'm thankful for being in a nation where I can get on the highway and I can travel without being stopped by people with machine guns. Other nations don't have what we have. We better be thankful. Well, preacher, I'm thankful, but I just don't talk about it. The reality is, if you're really thankful, you're going to share that. You're going to talk about it just a little bit. So if I'm spirit-filled, I'll have joy. He's saying that if I'm spirit-filled, I'll be thankful. Now catch this. He's saying that if you're spirit-filled, you're going to be submissive. Submitting one to another in the fear of God. And I get around people and there is no submissiveness there at all. It's like hitting a wall. It's like hitting up against, don't push me any. It's like anger. It's like, don't tell me what to do. It's, I don't need any help. And he's saying here, we're to have a spirit of submissiveness. Read it. Look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another. Now, in the first year of marriage, the man talks and the woman listens. And in the second year of marriage, she talks and the husband listens. Third year of marriage, they both talk and the neighbors listen. Now, the difference of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, and if you've studied Old Testament history, you'll know this, that the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament would come upon people for certain tasks or jobs to be done. The Holy Spirit would come upon them at certain seasons. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes and he lives in us every day. That's why you don't want to grieve him. That's why you don't want to offend him. Because he wants to live in you. If you're having trouble getting along with your spouse, you're going to have a little trouble getting along with the Holy Spirit. So we're to submit to him. Now, I was thinking about this, and I read again back in 1 Samuel 16:13, where God told Samuel to go down to Jesse's house, and you're to anoint a new king. And when he gets there, he finds it's his son that's the youngest, and his name is David. And he uncaps the horn of the apothecary and he pours oil out on 17-year-old David to be the future king. And it made sense to me. I mean, you need to be anointed with the Holy Spirit if you're going to be a king. But I read it again. When did he become a king? 15 years passed before he ever became a king. And yet it said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. What happened in those 15 years? His brothers got jealous of him. He's kind of shoved out of the heart of the home. King Saul became bitter toward him, sought his life, tried to kill him, literally threw spears at him. He had to run. He hid in caves. He hid out in the wilderness. He was on the run. 15 years. He needed the anointing of God for the difficult circumstances of life. And we sit around and think, man, I need to be anointed to be enjoying worship. I need to be anointed so I can be a Sunday school teacher. I need anointed so I can preach. I need anointed so I can sing in the choir. And it would help a little. But the fact of the matter is, we need anointed just to be a dad in the home. Spirit anointed dads. I've been around long enough to know I don't even know how to preach. I don't know how to pastor. I don't know how to lead a staff. I don't know how to be a dad. I don't know how to be a good husband. I need the direction and the guide alongside and in me called the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to be the kind of wife that you need to be. You need the Holy Spirit to help you and anoint you to be the kind of husband that you need to be. And fact of the matter, I think we need the Holy Spirit every day of our life to help us to become the person that God wants us to be. So God tells us to submit one to another and says the only way you can do that is through the Holy Spirit. So I want you to see something this morning. I want you to see two things. First of all, I want you to catch a picture of this. I want you to glimpse this. I want you to see the submissive wife. Notice three things about the submissive wife, because we're all to be submissive. It's an indicator whether or not we have the Holy Spirit. Look at the first thing. She submits willingly, not reluctantly, not resentfully, not hatefully, but willingly. Now, may I ask you, are women superior to men? Write down, don't use this second service. Women are superior to men at being a woman. And men are superior to women at being a man. Now, I haven't said anything, so don't walk out of here and say, I preached something. Call the Better Business Bureau on me. Neither one is inferior to the other. Fact of the matter, Galatians 3:28 says that men and women are created equal. It says there's neither the male nor female. Now, God may have a sense of order, but nobody is more superior or less inferior than the other. Now, I'll have once in a while, did I say once in a while? I'll have women come to me and say, Pastor, how can I change my husband? Well, I said, he's not the guy you picked out to begin with. Well, I just thought I could help him. You remember that young bride about ready to walk down the aisle to become a wife, and she was so scared, she was shaking, and somebody came up and whispered, and she said, I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I can't even think what I'm supposed to say when I get up front. So what am I going to do? He said, get your mind off of that and focus on something, and it'll help you not lose control. She said, what do I focus on? Well, you start at the aisle. Just talk. There's the aisle, the aisle, the aisle. And then look up front, and you'll see an altar, and just say, altar, altar. And then you'll see him. I'll alter him. Just say it over and over. I'll alter him. I'll alter. Am I going too fast? And it's vice versa. I wish I could change my husband. Well, quit giving him too many mashed potatoes. He'll be a twin pretty soon. And I know maybe some of you guys like to change your wife. But look at what 1 Peter 3 says. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husband, that special man in your life. So that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, where they see you or your respectful and pure conduct. So listen, if I really want to change my husband, we'll do so when he looks at our life and sees the difference that God has made in our life. Here's how a lot of women try to change their husband. It's Proverbs chapter 27, verse 15. A continual raindrop is like a nagging woman. You can't make this stuff up. What the Bible's saying, it's saying that you're not going to change your husband by continually nagging. Your husband's going to change when he sees the beauty of Christ live through your very life. Submit willingly. Secondly, she submits reverently. Look at what 1 Peter 2:3 says. And some of you women, just hang on. Your time's coming. If you can survive this. Look at what it says. Where they see the purity and reverence of our lives. You know, the greatest need that a man has is for his wife to reverence him. Now wait. Close second is for the adult children to love and respect their dad. That's what a dad wants. He wants his wife to really highly regard him. And he'd like for his adult children to do the same. So what does it mean for you to respect your husband? It means to hold him in high regard. Holding means to look for things about him that you can speak well of. Encourage him. Say things that'll build him up. Be his supporter. May I tell you something? That gal down there at the factory, she'll brag on him. You better start bragging on him. There'll be a woman somewhere that will have eyes for him. You better start having eyes for him. Just talking to you. A man is crying out for his wife to revere him more than anything else in the world. He wants her to be proud of him. Man was leaving for work, and he and his wife had walked outside. He looked across the road, and the neighbor lady put a great big smacker right on her husband's lips. And he looked at his wife, and he said, "I wish you'd do that." She said, "I can't. He's already married." But we're to submit willingly and submit reverently. A little humor takes the clobbering and the hard hit off a little bit, okay? Thirdly, she submits spiritually. And you can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at what the Bible says, talking to the women, okay? 1 Peter 3:3, who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, the wearing of gold, putting on of costly apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament. Now here it is. Here's what you're to do. The ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is of, in the sight of God, of great price. More than outer, it needs to be the hidden, the inner part of the heart. You know what is the most beautiful thing about a woman? Is when she loves God. Honestly. You want to see a beautiful woman, it's one that really reverences the Lord. By the way, life is like a bath. The longer you stay, the more wrinkled it becomes. So don't worry about the outside nearly as much as the inside. She submits willingly, reverently, spiritually. But it doesn't end there. It talks about the submissive husband. You say, "Well, I never saw it. You weren't looking." Just look at it again. What does it say? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That means the husband's to be submissive too in this whole affair. Well, ladies, you ought to say something. I didn't expect the guys to amen me. So the wife is to submit to her husband, but the husband is to submit to the wife. Somebody said the clue to happiness in marriage is to understand him a lot and love him a little. And to be happy with a woman, you must love her a lot and try not to understand her at all. But you know, the Bible teaches exactly opposite of that. It says here in 1 Peter 3:7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Now, how does a husband submit to his wife? One, he submits to her physical needs. Look at what the Bible says. "Likewise, your husbands, dwell with them." In other words, live with them. And the greatest need that a woman has is for security. A woman, when she finds a man, she's looking for security. And it's the husband's responsibility to provide that security for her physical needs. And he submits to her physical needs. He said, "I want to make sure that physically you're taken care of, that you've got food to eat and clothes to wear and a house that's warm and a place to live and you're protected." And let me show you something, okay, real quick. This is just Bible. Is that okay? Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So what did God do? God created a man and then gave him a job. And after he started working, God brought something good into his life. For verse 18, "The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmate for him." So God gave him work before he gave him a woman. Let me tell you something. If you're a woman and you got a guy that won't work, you don't need him. And if you're dating a guy that can't even keep a job, what in the world is wrong with you? If you're looking for security and the guy can't even find a job and don't want a job and don't last for, well, anyway, moving along. I'm saying it's his responsibility. My point here isn't about a woman working outside of the home. That's not my message at all. But that a husband may say, if I have to work two jobs, if I have to work three jobs to give you the security that you need, that's how much you matter to me. Who couldn't love a man like that? One couple got married and they'd been married for a little while, and the husband said to his wife, I sure wish you could make biscuits like Mama. She said, I sure wish you could bring the dough home like my daddy. So he submits to her physical needs. And secondly, he submits to her emotional needs. The Bible said in 1 Peter 3:7, she's the weaker vessel. Now how he's to build security into her life emotionally. Now how do you build security into her life? You do it by being trustworthy. You do it by being honest. You do it by being truthful. You want to build security into your wife? Then be honest with her. Be upfront with her. Be truthful with her. She wants to know that you're committed. She wants to know that you're in it for the long haul. She wants to know that you really think she's the greatest woman in the world. She wants to know that you only have eyes for her. Now, I know that's awful simple, but what I'm preaching to you works because it builds trust into the relationship, and the foundation of any relationship is trust. So, honey, I'm going to submit to your physical needs, and I'm going to submit to your emotional needs, and then lastly, I'm going to submit to her spiritual needs. Look at what it says. Likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together, the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And this is what I believe, that if a husband and a wife come to a situation, and they're trying to reach some kind of a decision, and they can't find any kind of real conclusion, then you say, Pastor, whose responsibility is it to make that decision? It's the husband's. Co-equal. Nobody is superior or inferior to the other, but God still placed the head of the home, husband. And I believe that if a wife finds that her husband's on his knees and he's sobbing and he's praying, God, we've talked about this. I've tried to find direction. And God, I need help. I want the Holy Spirit. I want you to guide me right now to make the right decision. I believe any wife would follow that kind of a man. If she finds her husband sincerely saying, God, I humble myself. I'm supposed to be the head of the home, but you're my head, and I need your direction. Abraham Lincoln said, I've been driven to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and all about me seemed insufficient in the day. And I believe that when a wife sees her husband on his knees humbling himself and saying, I may be the head of the home, but I don't have the answer. You're my head. Give me the direction. You'd have a hard time convincing me that a wife wouldn't follow that man. It's not hard to love a submitted wife. And it's not hard to submit to a loving husband. You know what? God's plan works so well. It's like the old maid said, I'd just like to get in on the plan. We need the Holy Spirit. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, you've got the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, temperance, meekness. You get all the fruit of the Spirit. And we can make it better when we have him because we have all that love, joy, peace, that all the fruit of the Spirit. And you know, my ministry has always worked better when I had harmony in the parsonage. And if you're wanting so much to have your prayers answered, you better have fellowship in the home, or your prayers are going to be hindered. So I'm saying that if the wife will come and she'll say, Spirit, I want you to fill me. And you come along and you're saying, I want you to fill me. When you do that, then you're experiencing that love and that joy and that peace. What's the secret? It's giving more of myself to him and getting more of him in me. Less of me and more of him. I close just simply by saying we need the Holy Spirit. We need him in every home in this ministry. Those that are watching, the secret is having the Holy Spirit as our guide. And that's why right in the middle of all this marital issues, God said, here's the answer. You need to be Spirit-filled.
Thanks for being a part of the Voice of the Nazarene. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. with BNC's Pastor Ray LaSalle. For more information regarding BNC, visit BucyrusNazarene.org.